A few years ago, the newspapers reported a story which sounds unlikely, but which is apparently perfectly true. A woman was at home, fast asleep in bed, when she was woken by a voice. Somebody was shouting, a faint voice, "Help! Help!" You know how it is when you wake at night to some sound? In your sleepiness, you're not certain whether you really heard something or it was just in a dream. But yes, she could hear the voice. Help! Help! Her first instinct that it was her husband who cried out, but no, he was sleeping soundly next to her. Then she heard the cries again. Help! Help! It was definitely real. So she threw back the covers and headed downstairs towards their living room. She was braver than I would be. Help! Went the plaintive voice yet again. Where are you? The woman replied. In the chimney, came the rather unexpected reply. And sure enough, dangling in the fireplace, with his head steaming through the flue, was a burglar, upside down and quite snugly stuck. The police and fire brigade were called and got him out eventually, although not before having to disassemble the mantle and some of the masonry. Perhaps the best part of the story was what the woman did in the meantime. She flicked on all the lights and videotaped the whole thing. And this was before mobile phones became universal. I don't know what the two of them, the woman and the burglar, talked about while waiting for the police to arrive, but if she wanted to give the unfortunate crook a biblical perspective, she could have directed him to John chapter 10, verse 1. I tell you the truth, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. Well, I mention that because it's a great story. For my text, however, I want to turn to verse 9 of the same chapter. Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be safe. They will come in and go out and find pasture. We're very familiar with Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. That comes in verse 11. But before Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he says, I am the gate. And that's a much less familiar saying. I've seen plenty of pictures depicting Jesus as a good shepherd. I don't recall seeing one depicting him as a gate. So let's think about gates. Gates come in many different shapes and sizes. Just reflect for a moment on the word gate. And what sort of gate comes to your mind? We don't have a gate at the front of our house. Well, we used to, but it didn't serve much purpose. You see, we have two entrances from the street with a brick wall in between. One is the driveway for the car, the other is the path to the front door. We used to have a gate just for the pathway, but it was a bit redundant, as anyone could walk up the driveway, which was quite open, and save yourself the bother of opening the gate. One day, not long after we moved in, the socket, which was the hinge for the gate, came out of the brick wall, and the gate fell over. 3 years later, and the gate is still leaning against the side of the house, unused. In contrast, my next door neighbour has a very impressive gate. It's one of those that's remotely controlled. If you want to approach the house, you have to press a button on a security camera, and then if you seem decent enough, they'll let you in. They fitted it after observing somebody taking a good look at their cars. We've not had the same problem. Perhaps their cars are more coveted than mine. I have to say that we do have a gate at the side of the house to stop people from getting into the back garden. A wooden garden gate, more like a door, which can be only opened from the rear. An American minister, Diane Roth, recalls, I quote, "A couple of years ago, we decided it was time to build a fence around our house. We decided to embark on this endeavor because we had picked up a dog, a puppy at first, but she grew up to be a dog, and we wanted an enclosed area for her where she could run and play safely in our backyard. We wanted a fence to keep her safe inside. Now, the fence hasn't always been so effective. Our dog longs for freedom, and she's figured out a couple of ways to escape now and then. But the idea behind the fence was to create a place of safety. And as you might imagine, when we were designing the fence, there was a lot of talk about where would be the best place to put a gate. There were those in the family who thought it ought to be on one side of the house, and others who thought it ought to be on the other side. At least one person thought there should be two gates, one on each side, but that person was voted down. We wanted to make building the fence as easy as possible, and having two gates seemed like a little too much trouble. But of course, everyone was agreed. There has to be a gate. You can't have a fence without a gate. Without a gate, there will be no way in and no way out." As I said earlier, this Sunday, the fourth of the season of Easter, is sometimes known as Good Shepherd Sunday, as each year the readings turn to the biblical picture of the shepherd. And we're used to hearing about and talking about Jesus as the Good Shepherd. "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me," is a very familiar verse for many of us, just as the opening words of Psalm 23 are very well known: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Even if we personally don't have much experience with sheep, even if we haven't been anywhere near a farm or a pasture, we can work out what it means to say that God is like a shepherd. It's an image of tender care and protection. But in this passage of scripture, we also hear Jesus talk about himself as the door or the gate. "I am the gate for the sheep," he tells the people in this passage. "Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." So what does this mean? I guess when we think of both images, the shepherd and the gate, we often think of a place of safety, a refuge. That's why Diane Roth built a fence, so that her dog could have a safe place to be and not wander away and get lost or go out to the busy street. That's why we have a gate on the side of our house with bolts on the inside to keep intruders out. But if a gate is only for safety, only for refuge, it would only be a way in and not, as Jesus says, both a way in and a way out. And the shepherd not only leads the sheep in, but also leads them out at times. The gate goes both ways. It is a way in and a way out. In fact, the very last verse in our gospel lesson is the key to understanding Jesus as the gate. Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus is a gate that leads to life. And what kind of life does Jesus offer? It is life to the full, or as some Bible translations render it, abundant life. It's the same thing. Life to the full, abundant life. But what does abundant life look like? I believe that this is an important question to answer in this modern age, where the abundance that we run after and desire is material abundance. And there are creatures who will tell you that if you are faithful, then God will bless you with wealth, a nice car, a better job, and that is the meaning of an abundant life. But I think that abundant life looks different to that. A Black Baptist preacher from the United States once gave a testimony about his life. He talked about growing up poor in the South in a family of 13 children and how they didn't have much. He talked about his childhood dream of leaving home and moving to the North, where he thought there would be more work and more respect for a Black person. He said that for him, it was like the promised land. And he thought, as soon as I graduate from high school, I'm going north. In the meantime, he started to align himself with ideas about Black power and started wearing an armband that said, "Black and proud, say it loud." And he wore it to school, and the teacher told him to take it off. But he wouldn't. Even though he was beaten at school, he still wouldn't take the armband off. But somewhere along the line through all of this, he learned something important. He learned that God was for him. "God is for me," is what he said in his testimony. That was the power, the knowledge that allowed him to take a beating, to take insults, and still keep the armband, "God is for me." And now looking back, do you know the title of his testimony? It was one word, abundance. The preacher had a very simple definition of abundance. He said, "Abundance is knowing that God is for me, whatever the outward circumstances. God is for me. I came that they may have life, abundant life, life to the full." That's what Jesus says. That's what Jesus offers, life for you and for me. Just before our gospel reading for today, John chapter 9, we find the story of the man born blind. Perhaps you remember the story. Jesus healed a man who had been blind from birth. And that brings a whole load of trouble. The religious leaders are offended. They say because Jesus did the healing on the Sabbath. I think it's more like Jesus doesn't fit into the nice, safe categories that they had created. Jesus can't be controlled. The religious leaders grill the man born blind about his experience, and the end result is they throw him out of the synagogue, which would be the equivalent then of us throwing someone out of the church today. But more than that, because the synagogue in those days, for Jewish men especially, would have been the heart of the local community. And to be thrown out of the synagogue would be as if you were being expelled from the community. They throw him out of the synagogue and they close the gate behind him. He's locked out. Locked out of the place that had been a source of life for him. Shut out of the place of community. And now Jesus comes and calls himself the gate. Only he's the open gate where the sheep come in and go out and find pasture. And because he is the open gate, not a closed gate, he is the gate to abundant life. In Jesus, the gate is open to life, to community, to purpose, to healing. Jesus is the open door to life, to abundant life. And the gate goes both ways, both in and out. As Jesus says, they will come in and go out and find pasture. So the gate is not just the entrance to a refuge, to a place of safety from the world and its dangers. But the gate also goes out into the world, because that's where the shepherd is. The gate is open, but we go in and out to find abundant life. Abundant life is here in this place, at the table, and as we worship together, in our activities during the week. And abundant life is out there in the world, where we serve and work together with others, where the shepherd is loving and healing and gathering people. It's everywhere. People have experienced rejection and closed doors and pointing fingers. It's everywhere. People need to know God's abundant life, where people need to know that God is for them. I want to tell you a little more of the preacher's story, his testimony. Because in time he did graduate, and he did leave the South and head north. And he found work there. But he also found that people used some of the same words, and the same attitudes about him that they had in the South. He got some of the same treatment in the North. But he continued to believe that God was for him. He decided to go to college, and he became a teacher. Before he became a pastor, he was a teacher. And for a time, he was the principal of a high school. And quite remarkably, he ended up hiring the same man who had been his teacher and who had beat him when he was a student. He believed that what God was for him, but amazingly, that God could also be for this teacher, even this teacher who had treated him so badly. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." What does it mean to have full life? What does it mean, a life of material prosperity? Does it mean a life where everything goes smoothly or easily for us? There are many scriptures that speak of times when we may need to endure unjust suffering. No, abundant life means knowing that God is for us. That in Jesus, the gate to life, to freedom, to healing is open, and we live our lives always in this reality, in this trust. Abundant life means that in whatever circumstances we are in, we trust that God is for us, that the gate is open for us, that God's arms are open for us. I heard a joke recently. I think it's an old joke. You may have heard it. St. Peter was walking the streets of heaven, but somehow they seemed overly crowded. Peter went to the gate of heaven to look in the book they keep where people check into heaven. And his suspicion was confirmed. Based on the information in the book, there were too many people in heaven. He told St. Paul of his concern. "Paul, this doesn't look good. There are more people in heaven than there should be. Who are these people? How do they get here? Go and see if you can find out what is going on." So St. Paul ran off to investigate, while St. Peter personally stood at the gate, keeping a close eye on people. After a while, Paul returned with a report. "You're right, Peter, there are extra people here." St. Peter replied, "I knew it. Where are they coming from?" And Paul answered, "Oh, it's Jesus. He's helping people climb in over the back fence again." I like the image of Jesus giving people a shin up over the back fence of heaven. In fact, Jesus doesn't have to bring people in over the back fence because, as we've heard, he is the gate. It's through Jesus Christ that we enter into the blessedness of abundant life. But the joke is right about one thing. Sometimes the church tries to limit entrance into heaven to those we think deserve to be there. We set boundaries and judgments based on our partial understanding of the scriptures or our human prejudices and preconceptions. But the gate, as we've heard, opens two ways. It is a way in and a way out. But it also means the gate is open not just for us, but for others. It is open for the least and the lost, the broken-hearted and the hard-hearted, the beat up and the blind. Jesus' death and resurrection opened the gates of abundant life, God's love for the world. And we go out and we come in to follow him where people are hurting and hungry, to help heal the world. So friends, may we as well come in and go out and find pasture. May we go in and out the open door of Jesus to find abundant life in his mission, to heal a broken world.